Beautiful song service. Amen. I really enjoyed that. Let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Since they worked so hard, let them rest for a while. And I really enjoyed that. The songs of praise and worship, it really just touches your heart. All those songs come from inspiration. So it's good to be worshiping in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And I know each one of us come here as soldiers. Amen. Having fought many battles, but praise God we're here. And you know, we are an invincible army, right? That's right. So it doesn't mean you don't fall. It just means that you get back up. And so as long as you're getting back up, then you're not defeated.
That's right.
So he's not been successful, though. He's tried many times. Satan has not been successful at taking God's people down. So again, it's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have Caitlin with us again this morning. We're really happy to have her with us and hope that she just feels right at home among us. As I tell all of our visitors, we are just country folk, just normal people, you know. And so you got to love us. Amen? So, yeah. Heaven's not going to be made full of a bunch of dignitaries. Yeah. You know what? It's not going to be. Yeah. But, you know, as Brother Bram said, some of the best hearts there ever was that would beat was be behind a pair of overalls. And I'm not saying that because I was wearing overalls yesterday. But anyway, so Lord bless you. I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures this morning. And we'll just begin reading in Genesis chapter 3. Don't want to keep you standing for a long, long time, but I had to kind of study and prepared for this morning when I got over here this morning praying, and the Lord just turned me in a different direction. For some reason, he wants me to go this way, so I don't have to know why, but you just do what the Lord wants, and so I'm sure he has something. As Brother Branham said, when he comes, yeah, something good always happens. So.
Yeah, that's right.
So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, kind of wait just a little bit so you can catch that. And the serpent said, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Amen. Now I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read a little bit there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 19. Speaking of God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come here this morning, to be in your house, and to be able to look into these things that you've committed to us. And Lord, we know that no man's able to open the Bible up to the hearts of the people. All we can do is physically read them and comment on them, but Lord, it takes your great Holy Spirit just to seal these things away to our heart, these truths, Lord, that they become real to us and become something that we can have strength in our lives with. And that's what we're here for this morning, to give honor to you and praise and to ask God that you would take these things and reveal them to us, that we might become stronger, better Christians. And Lord, that we'd be able to walk in a better measure of this day, Lord, expressing you to this world. We ask God that you just take these things that are on my heart this morning that you've given me. Lord, you just open it up to us, and we'll give you praise and honor for these things. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. So this morning, I guess I'll just title this The Original Sin. And, you know, you could say, what's the big deal about the original sin? Well, apparently there is a big deal, because Satan really has tried to really hard to hide and cover up what the original sin is. And you know, because the whole fall of humanity fell, you know, from what happened there in the original, in the garden with the original sin, and also the redeeming back to human race, back to God also is there laying underneath this. The answer for the original sin is there. So we find in the scriptures we read there where that all things were made by him and for him. Now all things. And the scripture said, whether it be principalities, whether it be powers, dominions, you name it, whether it's angels, stars, whatever, molecules, everything was made by him. Of course, he is the Word. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and he created the world by that Word. And it's a person of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures we read there said he is the express image of the invisible God. And so he created everything by Jesus Christ, by the Word, and he dwells in his Word. And so the scripture said it was all made by him and for him, all things. Right. So Satan was made by him.
That's
right. Right? Your adversary was made by him and for him.
Yeah.
For his purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that's, when you get into the things that the message is really giving us, I know to our brain, to our physical gray matter, our way of thinking, it really stretches us. To think things, but we've got to understand that he is God.
That's right.
Right? He is God, and he is the top, mm-hmm. right? There's nobody higher than him, and he created all things, and he knew all things. He knew when he created Lucifer that he would turn into the devil.
Yeah.
He knew that he would be corrupted. And so you just have to commit that to God and know that God is, be still and know that I'm God, as the scripture says. No matter what's happening, no matter whether you understand it or not, we just got to say, you know what? He's God. And I don't care what it is. He's still God, and I'm still in his eyesight. He's not lost track of me. He's not lost track of you. He knows what you're going through. And furthermore, he's permitted what you're going through. Right? And we just have to remember that when he lets you go through something, he's found you worthy to be tested and tried, that you can have more character, so that when you get on over there, you'll shine a little bit brighter.
Yeah,
right? Because he didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? And we know that it makes a difference, because our character is a victory, and it means you had to have battles to have victories, to have character, and that's what you take with you.
That's right.
You can't take something else. And so all things were made by him and for him. Satan was made by him and for him, for his purpose. And so we know in the message, as it brings it out so clearly, and if you're a Bible reader, if you've studied the Bible, you know that the things that Brother Ram taught us is exactly scripture, and shine light on the scriptures. But we know that God had the ability before he had ever created anything, you know, that he had the ability to be a savior. He had to be the ability to be a healer, to be a father, to be a comforter, to lead and to guide, to be a friend. Uh-huh. He had all those attributes. Well, how can you be a father if you have no children? Mm-hmm. How can you be a savior if nobody's lost for you to save?
Right.
Right? So you find out that the whole entire creation, everything God did, was to bring something he had in his mind or in his heart that he wanted to bring to pass. Everything he did as he set forward, he was moving in the direction to bring that to pass.
Right.
So when he created angels, there's a purpose for that. When he created Lucifer, there was a purpose for that. When he created all the heavens that's so vast it's hard to imagine, there's a purpose for all that. And when he puts you on this earth, there's a purpose. See? And so everything was made by him and for his purpose. You were made for his purpose. You were not made to come here just to satisfy yourself. You were made and put here, if you're his children, you are put here to be a reflection of him, to be an offspring to him. And so that is our sole purpose. And you know what? Until we find that revelation, until we realize I'm a child of God and my purpose here on this earth is to represent him, to live out what he would live. This world says, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, he'd do something different than what you see them doing, mm-hmm. right? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so once we find out that is what it is, that revelation of what we're here for, and if we're truly born again and have the Holy Ghost inside us, that becomes our number one focus. We are concerned 24/7 about our walk with God and a desire to express God to those around us. Not for glory to ourselves or anything like that. We just want such a hunger in our heart. We want to see people find the God that we have found that puts peace in our heart even when we're going through trials. That's what we want. We want the world to find him. And so he had to have something to take place in order for him to be a savior or a healer or a father. So he created everything and everything come forward and he, you know, just for his purpose. So we find out that in the scriptures that really, not just to be worshipped, but, you know, in order to be a father, you have to be children. So God wanted to have a family. And since we know the way it works, is that what makes us the children of God is because God puts his spirit in us, right? God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, which causes us to cry, Abba, Father.
Right?
So that's how we know that we're in him, by his spirit, which he gives. If I'm quoting scriptures, right? And so that's how, so in order for God to have a family, he had to be a family. He had to put himself within his children. Eternal life had to come down and live in his people because he is eternal life. He's the only form there is.
Yeah.
Satan don't have it. The angels don't have it. He's the only form of eternal life. And for us to live throughout eternity, we have to have him in us. Not some creed, not some idea, not some other spirit, but the only form of eternal life. We've got to have his favor that he would come into us, and that's what he does. And that makes us his children. And so he wanted to have a family and be a family, and that would mean that, you know, if someone is a son or a daughter of someone, there is genetics and characteristics that go from the parent into the child.
Yeah.
And those genetics is what ties it back to their parent. So a true Christian has something in them that's right straight from Almighty God.
Yeah.
That's what makes them a Christian. Not because they can recite some scripture, not because they go to church, not because they pay their tithes, or their grandma was a good Christian woman, or their grandpa, or whatever. None of that. They are a child of God because there is a gene in them, a spiritual gene that makes them that way. And then if that gene is in there, they've got characteristics just like their father.
Right?
Plain and simple. No question about it. And so when God put us into this earth, made Adam and Eve, and they were his children here on earth, and the purpose was for that child or those children of God, that family of God that he wanted to have, was for them to go forth into this earth, multiplying in the earth, filling the earth with his family, all those that he wanted to have fellowship with by his foreknowledge. They were going to go forth and the earth was going to be replenished and filled with the children of God. And all of those children would have that gene of the Father in them, right? And he was perfect and they would be perfect. And all that offspring would have a pure seed line in them.
Yeah.
Now, don't think just physically, but think spiritually. A spiritual character, spiritual makeup of a person. Because you can have really good genetics, enough genetics that you can live to be well over 100 years old and be a devil in your heart.
Right?
So there's two things I want you to see here, both physical and spiritual side, that the children of God were going to be genetically pure so that in their flesh they would be pure, and also in their spirit, in their spiritual being, they would be pure. They would be like God.
Yeah.
And so, now, let's just look at this. If they're in the earth and Adam and Eve are here and they're pure, okay? They're the offspring of God, son and daughter of God. But yet God's got an adversary, the devil. So now how's the devil? He's kicked out of heaven. He's come down. The scripture said he was in the garden of God. So he comes down and he's in the garden of Eden. The devil, not the serpent, okay? The devil in his spirit form, he's down there. And so now what can he do? How can he mess up God's plan? God wants to have a family, and God's having this family. So how could the devil mess things up? And what he would have to do, what Satan would have to do, was to be figure out some way that he could inject himself into God's family, into God's plan. Because, you know, the serpent, just like all other animals, the serpent was subject to Adam. Because Adam was over all the animals, even named. Did you know that, that the serpent received his title, his name, what he is, by from Adam?
Right.
And you know, there was a Mr. Serpent and there was Miss Serpent.
Yeah.
Right? And so all those animals, he had dominion over all of them, and everything was fine. And their purpose, all of creation was, and I'll say it this way, happily in subjection to Adam. When he could move the tree, if he wanted a tree to be plucked up and planted over here, it could happen,
yeah.
Right? Because Jesus said that you could do that by faith, right? So we know that Adam could do that because Jesus come along to show us what was lost from the original Adam, right? So if Adam wanted to take a mountain and say, go into the sea, he could do it. Because he was the Son of God, no sin, no, right? He had enough of the character of God and the mind of God that all these animals wanted to come by, he could give them their names, right? He did. And of course, his wife was made as part of him. And so we know that to be true. So the serpent and all the animals was subject to him, right? And so that serpent wasn't going to do anything, just like the cows or any other, none of it. They weren't going to do nothing, right? Because it wasn't in them to do anything wicked, right? And so you find out that in order for Satan to mess up God's plan, he would have to figure out some way to come down and get into the situation. And so, of course, those of you know the original sin, serpent seed doctrine, you know what I'm referring to there. But, you know, Satan isn't a creator, right? We have people that believe something, and I'll get on it here in just a minute, but Satan is not a creator. And so you understand that this fallen angelic spirit of Satan and his devils, other fallen angels, you know, they cannot come into this realm and speak, create a body, and step into that body and live in it. Satan is not a creator, right? He can't do it. Right? And you say, what about the table levitating? He didn't create that. He was perverting something. He's a perverter of what God does has made. God is the only creator, and those who he shares that with third pool. So he can't create. Satan, he's like, well, I'd love to get down here and mess up God's plan and cause havoc in his family, but I can't just speak me a body into existence and step into it and come down and wreak havoc. I've got to have something to work through.
Right.
Well, I'll go to Adam. Well, that won't work because he's a pure son of God, right?
Yeah.
Pure son of God.
Uh-huh.
And of course, this gets into what we know is that the woman was not in the original creation, says the Bible.
Right.
She was a secondary action that took place after the original creation. And she was a byproduct, as we know, a byproduct of the man. Okay, so she was made a little bit different than all creation, where all creation was made in a certain way. The human female is made different than all the rest of the females of the world, right? Of all creation. She's different. She's made different. And so Satan could not go to Adam and do anything. And he couldn't go to Eve and do anything because he didn't have a body to do it with. And he couldn't create him one. Right? So the only thing he could do is hijack one. And the only one he could do it with would be the only creature on earth who had a genetic compatibility with humans. It couldn't be Adam.
Right?
Couldn't be Adam. Couldn't be an elephant. Couldn't be a monkey. Right? But the scripture said there was one creature who was so much like human, and I'm paraphrasing that way, but if you read between the lines, the serpent was so much like a human that he could talk and reason. He talked to Eve. He reasoned with Eve. He was so much human that he could actually carry on a conversation and actually beguile her.
Right?
Right? So, you know, now the scriptures let us know, you know, Satan, he's pretty wise. He's wiser than Daniel, you know, right? He, You're not going to outdo him unless you have the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
Through the leadership of the Lord. That God's the only one that can outdo Satan. Because remember, Satan was God's right-hand man. We'll use that phrase. He was God's right-hand man and co-equal with God in everything except creation.
Yeah.
Satan cannot create, and that's where he misses the mark, and God has one over on him.
Yeah.
But just short of that, he's pretty wise. Mm-hmm. You're not going to outthink him and outdo him. And so you think he didn't know the one animal on this earth that was compatible? Sure he knew. He knew that that was the only way in the only place, and there was only one way that he could make this happen. And that was for him to come down and anoint that animal called serpent, which was an upright being that could talk and reason and actually beguile Eve and trick her. Right? This is who he was. And so Satan knew and that was the only way to do it, and that's right where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so now he possesses the body of this serpent. He's come in, and by the way, he said, did the Bible back that up? Yeah. Remember when the evil spirits went into the swine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Evil spirits can get into animals and make them do things.
That's right.
Right? So now he's come into the serpent's body, and now what's he going to do? Just run around and cause trouble? That ain't going to do nothing, see? So he takes that body that is compatible, he anoints it, and he uses that, he hijacks that serpent. Now remember, that serpent, his whole entire, he's subject to Adam, and he's okay. He's not backslidden. But when Satan comes in, he starts acting different. See? Your cells aren't backslidden, but when Satan gets in them, they start doing something different, right? We weren't going to die, but when Satan brought sin in, or because of the fall, when he comes in, now things act different, see? And we'll use the word backslidden, right? Because a cell that's trying to create a cancer, God can heal that, and that cell can come back to its original purpose, making you and not a devil, and it's not backslidden anymore. But if it's not doing what it's supposed to do, if it's away from God's original plan, then it's backslidden away from that, and it becomes backslidden only because Satan has anointed it. There's something come upon it that's making it be different.
That's right.
Right? So God's human race would have continued to be sons of God and daughters of God, and everything would have been fine, except Satan had to come and touch it.
Yeah.
Had to get in there. And so he takes this serpent's body and begins to work through him and begins to talk to Eve because he's not a creator. And so the way he would have to do this, he would have to inject, and remember, he's not his own, he's not a creator. But if he wants to get into the family of God and wreak havoc, he has to somehow alter their DNA. Because their DNA says they're from father, but you put different DNA in there, now they look different. They act different. That's why I'm so cautious of all this DNA stuff they're doing now. It can't be good stuff come from that.
Right.
They're doing some really strange stuff. And it shouldn't be. Man should not be playing God. Only by the Holy Spirit leading us to do things to act out God should we act like God. Otherwise, we should leave it alone and say he's God.
Yep.
Right? He's the creator. We can't create. All we're doing is perverting something. Take a little DNA and shove over here and something else and make it look different.
Yeah.
And so they do some really weird stuff. Like I seen that one time where they isolate the gene out of a spider, the gene that makes spider web, and they put it in a goat so they could have goat milk and they could spin spider silk from goat milk. It was on PBS, I believe it was, or Nova. Right. That's crazy. You have to be crazy to even want to try something like that.
Yeah.
But they're starting to mess around. And so you see, so Satan would have to get in there. And once he would inject his DNA into the family of God, it changes their nature, changes their character. And now death is in there, not life. It's no longer that original family of God in pureness. It's been messed with. You see what I mean? And so now it comes out something different. And so, and since it's different, since it's not God's original genetics in there, then if something different in there, then it's Satan's. So he you know, it's like we talk about how that if he can believe you, make you believe something different that's wrong, and you worship God underneath that wrong teaching, Satan gets to worship instead of God, even though you think God's getting it. Because it's based on a false doctrine that Satan is, and that's what I mean. And so when Satan was successful at coming into the serpent and getting the serpent to do what he did, he was successful in basically having his DNA by hijacking the serpent that became what we would refer to as the offspring of the serpent. And so it'd be his DNA. So the scripture said, the serpent said unto the woman. How many of y'all ever seen a snake out in the yard? Did he ever talk to you? I was cleaning up some stuff one time, carrying some stuff to the dump, and I gave a riding lawnmower to a friend of mine, and when he come over and got it, I don't know, but the hood that rolled go forward, I guess would come off or whatever, and he took the lawnmower and left that thing there, and it was leaning up against the building there, so when it come time to go to trash dump, I picked that thing up, and there was a gigantic snake underneath that thing, and it was kind of cold, so he was, but he was one of those that was pretty fat and about 4 foot long, and I killed him and strung him out there, you know, and when we went to the dump, come back later, my wife went with me, and she's sitting there looking at me with a funny look on her face. When we pulled up, I had strung it out there, and I think she knew it was there, I don't know, but anyway, it wasn't quite dead, I don't think. So when we pulled up from going to the dump, she looked out the window, and that thing was there, and it moved. And she thought it was another one, because I'd done told her I'd killed it, you know. And you'd have thought it was talking to her, the way she acted. It was pretty intimidating. But you know what? He never talked to me. He never tried to reason with me. He never tried to trick me, right? Because the snake is not the serpent we're talking about.
Right.
It's a different form. We know the scripture said that God changed his form. But and so maybe that snake, you know, what he used to be was a serpent that was upright, could talk, and was the one that was guilty of what took place there in the garden. But when he did what he did, his form was changed so he could never do that again.
Yeah.
Right? Never do it again. And so if, and this is where I'm going to, here in just a moment, talk about this other thing that a lot of people believe nowadays. So if the serpent who was able to commingle with the human race, if he has been changed to where he can't, right? And do you know Miss Serpent had to be changed too, right? If he was changed and can no longer do that, then what is Satan going to use to commingle? He's got nothing else to use. But you know what? He don't need anything else because he's already done it.
Yeah.
He's already got to Eve. And you know, she had offspring that is Cain. Cain was of the wicked one, the scripture said. And so that snake didn't talk. And you know, I think I was sharing the other day and mentioned, you know, when you have a serpent, the serpent, and he's upright being and he's talking, and then God changed him into the form of a snake, and yet the scripture said the serpent had a seed. Well, if that's the only thing that happened, and you got to see my motions, if him being changed into a snake and the snake, the seed of the serpent, the seed of the snake, just the guys crawling on the ground, if that's serpent seed, then how is it that stepping on their head would set us free from sin? It would,
right?
Because that's not the one he's talking about. It's talking about the one that got started up here before his body was changed, who did continue on, which became Cain. And so, you know, otherwise all you'd have to do is just go out and step on a snake and kill it. And as soon as you step on a snake, and I've killed many of them, and not one time after I killed them did I feel like my sins were gone,
right?
It's ignorant. It's amazing what people can believe and at the same time while they're believing, reject
yeah.
some other stuff that's even easier to believe, but they'll push those things aside and believe something that's not very, to me, is harder to believe. And so, serpent spoke to Eve, talked to her, deceived her, and got her to commit an act that we know what it did. It created the fall of man. You know, Brother Ram said the serpent was a great big fella. A great big fella, handsome, right? Big, beautiful, intelligent. You know, and as I said a while ago, seed, offspring have characteristics. So now I want you to think about what God features himself in. Character, not beauty. Faith, not science. Right? Not trying to. And so when you look at the characteristics of God, and then you look at the characteristics of the serpent went forth backslidden under the anointing of Satan upon him. He went forth, and his characteristics was like what he was being anointed by. And so Satan, you know, he had decided he wanted to take over heaven, right? He wanted to be like the Most High and be worshipped and all those sorts of things. And he thought, as Brother Bram said, he thought he could have a better kingdom than that of Michael in heaven, right? And he got kicked out because of it. So God had a perfect way of worship in heaven. He had a perfect system in heaven there where all the angels and everything, and Satan wanted to do something different. So Satan wanted to do something different than the original plan of God. So there is your hybrid, your backslidden, right? Because he's not doing what God originally said. So now he comes down and he anoints the serpent, and guess what? The serpent's not going to do what he's originally created for, right? And when he anoints people, they're not going to do what they're originally created for.
Yeah.
Right? And so he comes down, and the serpent has the character of Cain. And so you'll find out that this is what happened when you follow the genealogy of Cain and you follow the genealogy of Abel. Brother Bram talks about this very clear. Most of us know it. But Cain's offspring did not worship God like Abel or Seth. The God's family. They went out, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, which is another characteristic, left the presence of God, even though God told him what he needed to do to be accepted.
Yeah.
He left the presence of God and went out and began to do scientific research, began to build cities and name cities after themselves, and began to try to make a big name for themselves. Instead of trying to be humble and worship God and stay with God, they begin to try to make a name for themselves, become and begin to name cities after themselves and those sorts of things. And so Brother Bram points this out. That's the characteristics of Satan through the serpent seed, of what they go for. They leave the presence of God. They don't want to stay with the original plan. Why? Because their father didn't.
Yeah.
They don't want to stay with the original plan. They want to go some other route. See? And through that some other route, another seed line was created, and that seed line wants to go another route.
Right.
And that's what happened, see? And then it comes down to what we were talking about Nimrod the other day. It all started, all the religions and all the pagan holidays and stuff that people are so caught up in, it all started right there from a people who left the presence of God and became Babylon, because God's not the author of confusion. Stay with him and you won't be confused. But you leave him, then you go out into all these other things, and ain't no telling what you're going to wind up believing.
Yeah.
Right? So that's where Babylon come from, and it's with us today, religious.
Yeah.
So it created another seed line who wants to do something different than what God had originally said to begin with. And so Brother Rem tells us that the serpent was a was a great big fellow. So Cain was too. And so was Cain's offspring. And we know that this is where giants were from. Brother Ram talks about this. It's these giants. And so this thing that a lot of people believe today, and I've mentioned this several times, but I'm going to kind of show it to you in the scriptures, because I want you to see it a little bit clearer than just me commenting on it. So these people believe, when the scripture said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took unto them wives.
Yeah.
Right? And they produced men of renown, giants, And that's where the giants come from. And we know in the scriptures it said this, okay? The sons of God, sons and daughters of men. Their interpretation of that is that angels were sons of God. And those angels came down and pressed themselves, or in essence had to create themselves a body, press themselves into flesh or come into a flesh body and made it with women and produced this race of giants and renowned men. Okay? Back to what I said a while ago, Satan's not a creator. What body did they use? They can't create. What body did they use to do that? There wasn't one form to use. Right? Serpents, his body done been changed. So there's no body on the earth, no physical body that they could get into, push themselves into this flesh. So they couldn't create one, and they didn't find one to do it with because it'd been changed. So their interpretation is wrong. I've had deep discussions with at least one person, several people really, but to believe that these angels come down and are able to do that because they're expecting that to happen again. There's a big move out there that, oh yeah, you know, the return of the Nephilims, the sons of Anak, the giants. And I mentioned this the other day. I had a guy tell me, he said, well, I used to listen to a fellow that he preached serpent seed. And he said, well, I quit listening to him because he said that God had the flood destroy the giants. And he said, I see where there was giants after the flood. And then the question always comes up, well, if there was a serpent seed which produced giants, how did it get across the flood? And you're like, well, it doesn't, you know, we're not sure how. But you see that it got across because there were giants afterwards. Which tells you that something did happen when Noah's sons looked upon his father's nakedness. And the scripture said, when you look on your father's, when you go unto your father's wife, you've looked upon his nakedness.
Right.
So the scriptures, you had to look and read between the lines that something happened there that was not right, because the scriptures pointed out and said that Ham, wasn't it Ham? He went and he saw his father's nakedness.
Right.
And he didn't, as the scripture said, he didn't cover him up and so forth. And so he came out. And so you say, well, that's not enough proof. Well, the proof is that the giants that were there before are there after too.
Yeah.
So that genealogy must have went through there somehow. And I was telling someone the other day, you Jewish history, which you can't use that as Bible, but their history says that one of Noah's wives' names was Naima. But you can go to our Bible and find a woman in the genealogy of Cain. Her name was Naima. Okay? So for whatever that's worth. So they believe that these angels could come down and put themselves into human flesh, and I've just showed you, because they're not creators, they couldn't create a body, and there wasn't one that was capable of doing this because God had changed it, so their doctrine is wrong. And here's what Brother Brown tells us, and I'll go through the rest of the scriptures to show you that this is absolutely false teaching that the world, a lot of the world's chasing after believes. A lot of men who are highly sought after speakers and speak all around the world teach this kind of stuff. But you know why they can teach something? Because there was something else back here that they rejected. Because, you know, everything's built on a foundation. And if you don't build the right thing, you get off on something crazy, then you build something crazy on it because you're... And so when you reject something simple, like Satan's not a creator, when you reject that and you allow him to be a creator, now there's all kinds of things that can happen. But it's not true. And through that deception, people are believing, are going to hook, line, and sinker into stuff that's not right. And so they believe that. So Brother Ram tells us, and is that what that is, that when the sons of God, and if you look at it, the scripture said Adam, who was the son of God. Well, if Adam was the son of God, then Abel and Seth were sons of God, and Seth's children was sons of God, and it was a sons of God genealogy, right? A family of God going down through history. But then when the serpent created through this act Cain, the scripture never says Cain is a son of God, but the scripture said he was of that wicked one. Well, if Cain belonged to Adam, then Adam was the wicked one. And Adam was the son of God. Adam didn't sin by being tricked. The scripture said he was not deceived. He was acting out the redemption of Christ when he took that his wife's sin upon him, because that was a type of Christ. He had to do that. He was a son of God, and he acted out redemption. Right? Because of his love. Christ did the same. He took our sins upon him so that we would be saved, so he could save his wife. And so Cain, the scripture said he was of that wicked one. And so when you follow his genealogy, now there's the guys that chase after science and all this stuff, trying to make a big name for himself. But the genealogy of Adam through Seth, they're humble sheep herders, and they're calling on the name of the Lord. You don't see that. You don't see that terminology on that other group. They're not doing that. But this genealogy of the righteous side that brings us to Noah, they are calling on the name of the Lord, and they're seeking God and those sorts of things. They're not chasing after all these other things. And so, Brother Ram said, so these sons of God, sons of Adam, when the sons of Adam saw the daughters of men or daughters of Cain. So now think about it. If you got all these people on the earth, and some of them are sons of God, and some of them are man, the scriptures, you have to go with the scriptures terminology. So when God says, well, this is the sons of God, and then there's this other group, and he's going to call that man. Well, sons of God were men too, but it's a category. Sons of God. And when the sons of Adam, sons of God, looked over at Cain's offspring, who had been featured in science and beauty, and their women had made themselves all beautiful and sexy, because that's that genealogy that comes through Cain. They feature themselves in outward beauty and enticing, right? But God features himself in the inward beauty. So the scriptures is telling us that when the sons of God looked over, they began to be tempted by the outward seductiveness of the daughters of Cain.
That's right.
Okay, now it's two different genes, two different genealogies, right? A righteous seed line, another seed line that's not righteous but religious too. And now these men look over here and they're tricked, and they go over and they have children. Now you've got two different genes that you've mixed together. You've got a hybrid production. Why do they hybridize food? To get a bigger product, a bigger this, a bigger that, or whatever. So you can see how that taking the spiritual nature of the family of God and mixing it with this other thing, you could come up with a hybrid group of people who would be spiritual and yet still allowing themselves to be expressions of the serpent seed line and the things that they want. Right. So it becomes a scientific people who want big names for themselves, and yet they're spiritual and want to serve God. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound like what we have?
Right.
It is. And so they were just a big, beautiful, you know, an intellectual. That's what the serpent was, and so his seed line was. And so the sons of God were the sons of Adam. Saw the daughters of Cain.
Right.
And had this offspring. Now, that's where these giants come from, through that. And the angels did not come down and press themselves in the flesh because they couldn't. It's interesting that people can believe that angels could come down and press themselves into flesh and have offspring, but they can't believe that the serpent could be anointed by Satan and do the same.
Yeah.
Right? They don't believe it. But angels are not sons of God. Sons of God are angels, can be angels. It sounds like trickery, doesn't it? But it's not. You know, Brother Daniel, let's just say, So we believe we're sons and daughters of God. See? So Brother Daniel is a son of God. And if he is sent by God to be a messenger, then he's an angel, because angel means messenger. And an angel can come from heaven and be a messenger. And so Brother Daniel can be a son of God, and he is, and he can be an angel. But angels, created like angels in heaven, they're not sons of God. There's a difference there. And so what they're trying to say is that when it says sons of God, that means the angels, the fallen angels, because you know the ones that didn't fall wouldn't do something like that, right? So they're thinking, okay, these angels are the fallen angels. But the scriptures let us know that angels are not sons of God. And that's the mistake that they're making. And so the scripture says, and we'll read it here in just a minute, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to read, and then we'll read it, okay? But the scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2, we'll go there in just a minute, that a son has a higher name than angels because a son receives the name by inheritance. And the son, all judgment is put in the hand of the son, and the son is the one who receives the responsibility. He receives inheritance for the father. And whatever the father puts in his hand to be authority over, he puts that in subjection to his son. And so the scripture said God did not put the world to come in subjection to the angels, but he did give it to his son. Right? And so the scriptures tell us that God has not said to any angel, thou art my son. Because if he said to an angel, thou art my son, that would mean that angel would be in subjection, would have the world in subjection to him, the world to come. Right? They would make him in authority. But the scripture is very clear, we're going to read it, that he didn't do that. He gave that authority to his son, not the angels, and he never said to any angel, thou art my son. Talking about the angel from heaven. Now we, as sons of God, can be angels. You follow me? There's a difference there, okay? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll just step through this real quick. So it says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. By who? By an angel? By his son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Some things or all things? Right? Who's that? Jesus. Right? By whom he also made the worlds. Right? Jesus is the word. He used the word. We read it there. He created everything by that. And so it says that Jesus, the word, the one he gives this power to, he is the brightness, being the brightness of his glory. In other words, the Spirit of God is hidden, but when he wants to make himself known, he does it through a glory, and that glory is his son, Jesus Christ, the word, which eventually became flesh. So Jesus is the expressed image of that invisible God. So if you want to see God, you're going to see him in Jesus. It's the only way you're going to find him. And he used Jesus, the word he created, to create everything. So he is a brightness of his glory, an expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So his own word that became flesh, as though a different person, even though it was him, same person, that in person form to suffer like you and I, so he could redeem you and I, then that person was ascended up on high to the highest position of power, because that's who he is in the first place. He just had to come down a little bit lower. He was made higher, but had to come down lower for suffering. So we read it. So being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance has obtained a more excellent name than they. See? By inheritance, he has a higher name than the angels, because he's a son, and they're not. Okay? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Did he ever do that? No. Because if he had done that, that would make that angel his son. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be my son. He never said that to an angel. So you see what I'm saying? When they give that interpretation that the angels of God come down and saw that, it can't be. Right? Because angels are not sons. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Is everybody following me? You see what I'm getting at? It's right there in the scriptures. Okay? Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression of disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visits him? See? He didn't give that to the angels, but he gave it to his children, to his sons, right? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him. Now, a while ago it said he was made higher than the angels because of the name. By name he was higher, but he came lower. And that's what this is talking about, that he could suffer. So thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Mm-hmm. Sounds confusing. Everything's under him, we just don't see it yet. Yeah. Right? Because even though he had victory over death, the scripture said the last victory that comes is over death. Mm-hmm. It's in us. Mm-hmm. The last victory comes is us over death. But we see Jesus. So we don't see everything, but we see him. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See? So there's only one that was given that category, and that was Jesus Christ. And then we, through him, are heirs of the same thing. Amen? And so there you have it in scriptures. So, this original sin, let me try to get over to what I want to say about this. So, this original sin is a very powerful thing that took place. And the antidote, the thing that reversed that, would have to be an antidote to that. So, if we read in Proverbs, she'll bring this up, Proverbs 30:20, to show you that when Eve took of this fruit, and it says, oh, well, it was an apple, it was an apricot, or whatever. Well, she took of this fruit. But look here. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. Now, you know what an adulterous woman does, right? So look what it says. In her actions, she eateth, she wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. So even the scriptures are telling us that the act can be referred to by scriptures as a fruit. That she could have that with her, with the serpent, and then turn around and go to her husband, because people will try to say, well, it said that, you know, that don't work because the serpent couldn't go over to Adam. It's not the serpent that she went to Adam with. She had the experience, and then she took the experience to her husband. Right. The enlightenment of that experience. Mm-hmm. That's the fruit of it. See, that's the thing that was there. Yeah. And then Adam was partakers of it to save his wife. So such is the way of an adulterous woman. She wipes her mouth and eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no evil. So now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at what Paul says. There's way too many scriptures to cover in this, right? Okay, so I'm just trying to set a little foundation to get to something else I want to say. So Paul says, you know, Paul is given to responsibility to go to the Gentiles to get a wife for Jesus Christ. All right, so he said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Now, Paul is saying in another place, he says, I am here in his stead. Right? I am here in Christ's stead, and I pray you be reconciled. I have the many of reconciliation. And he's sitting there, he's saying, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. In other words, God is jealous through me. Right? I'm jealous over you, the church, that I want to give to Jesus Christ someday at the end of the church ages. I want that to be presented as a chaste virgin. So I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as what? Paul's talking about, hey, church, I want you to be a chaste virgin when I take you to Christ. But man, I tell you what, if somebody comes and does what the serpent did to Eve, you won't be a virgin.
Right.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. See? I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a simple gospel, but these tricksters come along and try to inject stuff and then make it complicated, make it confusing. Boy, Babylon, make Babylon out of it.
Right.
When it's real simple.
That's right.
It's cut and dry. Even the bush people in Africa understand that when a man lays with a woman, what happens?
Yeah.
They don't know right hand from left, but they understand that.
Yeah.
See what I mean? It's not complicated. You've got to be with Christ if you want to produce seed for him.
Amen.
You've got to have an experience with him if you want to produce life of him.
Yeah.
See? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, because right, Jesus is the word and he is the seed, and a man gives seed of himself, so to be receiving seed of Christ is to receive his word in the womb of your heart, right? So if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, if it's another Jesus, then it's another gene. If it's another gene, it's not the life of God, because Jesus is that life of God, right? It's real simple. So for he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit besides the Holy Spirit, that's me saying that. But if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Amen. And he goes on and talks. So there's that concept of what happened back there. Okay. Now he's bringing it over into the church realm and saying that here's this New Testament church, and you've been given the same opportunity Eve had. Eve, and this is what Brother Branham tells us. He says the woman has a greater reward than the man when she gets there if she can hold herself true to that virtue. Because you see, a man, when he gets married, all he can do is his offspring, he just gives seed of himself. He has no choice. If he gives seed, it's him. But the woman has a choice of which seed she receives. She has a choice, and it can be a wicked man, or it can be a righteous man, right? She has a choice. And so this is why she was made not in the original creation. She's a byproduct. She's made different. She's the only one like this, that her nature in that realm is different than the rest of the world, the rest of the creatures. And so she's been given a power and an ability to be perverted, but by choice, if she does what's right, she can hold her virtues, be for one man and him alone, right? And that's God's original purpose for her, is for her to be for one man, him alone, and keep herself virtuous all the way through until her wedding night. And so, you know, God, speaking through a prophet, told us, he said, a man and woman could be married for many, many years. They have all kinds of children. I'm just using my own phrase, but you've probably heard him say this. They can be married for many, many years, and if she has held herself true, if they've been true to one another, she's just as pure as she was the day she's born or before they were married.
Right.
Because God allows that.
Yeah, right.
So as long as it's done through marriage and done under God's covenant of marriage, that way it's righteous.
Yeah.
You're just as pure sister as you can be in Christ like that. But outside of that, outside of marriage, then it's that filthy act that you see take place that caused the fall of man.
That's right.
The thing that was Satan's greatest gift, greatest thing that happened, was to go right to that one thing that was the most powerful tool that's laying there, that's got the greatest reward if she can hold herself. That's where he went. And she's a type of the church. So now Paul brings it over and he's saying to the church, and I'm paraphrasing, trying to bring it over to show you what it's like. The church has been given this sacred responsibility to receive only the Word of God and not some other teaching, not some teaching of man, not something from the Catholic Church or from Baptist or whatever, but thus saith the Lord, the Scriptures only.
Right?
Only the Word. She's been given that. And if she can hold herself true to that, she has a great reward coming. Right? But if she will believe another Jesus or another gospel or another spirit, then now she can't be the wife of God. She has to be counted as a harlot. Right? That's why the Scriptures gives us the terminologies like this. And so she's been given this great responsibility. And so it is so important that a church believe only the things that come from God and not something else. That's why it's so important. But it's important for a sister, and you young sisters, you know, you listen to this, to hold yourself virtuous, because everything out there in the world is out there to make you fall short. And I'm not a woman, but I bet you if you went out and you could talk to women and they'd be honest, I bet you they would tell you, I wish that I'd have kept myself virtuous until my wedding night. I wish it would only been one man. I bet you they would. I bet that down in their heart, just knowing the gospel, they probably see somewhat feel unclean because of their path that they took. And I'll say this, if you've done that, that this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of showing you the revelation of Jesus Christ so you can get underneath that revelation, and by that, your sins are forgiven, you're righteous, you're just as pure as can be under God, but when you get away from that truth, you've got some other doctrine you're receiving. There isn't the forgiveness of sins. See? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship in His in the blood, His blood of His Son cleanses us from all sins. And so, don't let some man touch you until your wedding night. Don't do it. And I'll say this, and I, you know, it was this, the Scripture says the man is the woman's a weaker vessel. And again, this is not for condemnation or whatever, but you know, if God said the woman's a weaker vessel, in some form or fashion, she's a weaker vessel.
Yeah.
Right? That's not a male chauvinist idea. That's God.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk to Him about it, that's fine. But that's what He said. And so we men, brothers, you young men remember this too. See, we as men, we have to realize there's something we are stronger at fighting off the devil with than she is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That doesn't mean that she's worthless or not, nothing like that. That just means she's weaker in that capacity. And if you look in God's program, He's got it fixed so that she has that protection. Is her dad when she's in her dad's home, and then her husband when she's married. That's where her protection is. Her daddy and then her husband. In God's economy, she is not supposed to be outside of headship. I know that I'd probably be drugged through the streets, but this is God's word. She, in the Scriptures, has no place to be out from underneath headship. That's why it was so bad for a woman who was a widow, that she needed the church to help watch over her as a widow, right?
That's right.
But a woman's got to have leadership, headship, and it has to be her daddy. And if your daddy's not a good spiritual man, or if you don't have a daddy or whatever, then your pastor can be that for you, as long as, you know, it's, you understand. But you are to have spiritual leadership over you and to surrender to that. That is God's program, to be from your daddy and then to your husband when your daddy says you can have that man. Not somebody else. Not who you want. And that's Scripture, see. This is how much power daddy has over you. You're in the Scriptures, you see that she could make a vow. And you know, God will hold you to your vow. She could make a vow to something, and when her dad heard that vow, that God would hold her to that, but when daddy heard that vow, if he said, I do not allow that, then God would not hold that to her and she was free from it. But if daddy said, let it stand, then she had to go with it. Right? Your husband got the same authority. Mm-hmm. Right? See what I'm saying? So don't look at it the wrong way. Your daddy, your husband, is your protection. Because in some form, you're a weaker vessel, and it takes the revelation of Jesus Christ coming down for us to realize, I have a place to be. Yeah. Women have a place to be. Daughters, you have a place to be. Sons, you have a place to be.
Yeah.
And you young men and husbands, you're called to be the stronger of the two, and you're called not to be the serpent.
Uh-huh.
You're to act yourself like a son of God and not act like a serpent. And trick her, because you can use your words and you can lead her and trick her because she's a weaker vessel and you can take advantage of her. But shame on you if you do that, if you deviate from the word of God and what God has given you in this message to know what sons are to be, then you deviate from that and it's your fault because you're the stronger. But sisters, don't let some slick-tongued, serpent-acting person trick you into thinking that it's okay. It's not okay until after you're married on your wedding night, after the ceremony, after daddy has said yes.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I've watched it. Mm-hmm. I've watched children that have gone and married and girls without daddy and mommy's approval, and I've seen what happens.
Man.
I know what I'm talking about. See? We, under the revelation of the seven seals, we have always been the body of Christ on the earth throughout the ages, but only now can we be the perfect body of Christ expressed. Because we have a perfect revelation of the word that has now come to us, which should enable us to live a perfect revelation. And that perfect revelation means that we are, as daddies, do what we're supposed to under God's program. And we as mommies do what mommies are supposed to. And we as children, we act like children are supposed to. And the daughters in the message family, they listen to daddy.
Yep.
Right? It all works the way God wants it if we're totally surrendered to this great revelation that God has given us. But if we just kind of, well, it really don't matter, we just push it over the side, then you start acting and doing things because it lays within your flesh to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It lays within your flesh, young man, to be the serpent.
That's right.
Right? But only by the Holy Spirit and surrender to the Holy Spirit can you be that gentleman.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Your wife in the long run, if you marry her, she will respect you greater down the road when she looks back and says, he never deviated one time from the program of God.
Amen.
She'll have respect for you like you will never get from anybody else.
That's right.
If you'll hold yourself true. And I'm saying this to the young men because, like I said, you're Christ of the home once you... And you sisters, you need to listen. You need to recognize your husband is Christ of the home. And I'm not trying to be male chauvinist about it. I'm trying to tell you, this is God's program. And if it comes down to the place where you don't necessarily agree with your husband, and y'all are good Christian people, you need to let your husband do what he wants, because God holds him responsible. See? Right? God will never judge you for his mistakes, right? But he will judge him for your mistakes,
right?
If he just lets you get by and whatever. See, so brothers, I know I'm switching back and forth, but see, it's important that you understand you can disavow something she's done. And use that tool wisely. Use it wisely. Because you can protect her from things that Satan wants to come in and do. And you can say, well, Brother Tony, I wished I'd have known this a long time ago. Me too.
Yeah.
But what about now?
Yeah.
What about now going forward?
Right.
Hey, let's take this message that has come to us and let's embody this thing and let's have perfect families.
Amen.
Right? You say, well, my family got off on a wrong start. You know what? Do we have perfect redemption in this message? Then no matter what it is, God can bring it back to what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Right? But only if we truly surrender to every aspect of the message.
That's right.
Everything. Let me give you, and I know I'm just, but I have to give it the way it's coming. When Brother Brim says the sex glands are in the lips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there ain't a school out there in the world that'll teach you that. No scientific study is going to tell you, oh, we've studied, they might sometime down the road, I don't know, but you understand, man's not going to tell you that, But a man who had a ministry to show that he was the voice of God speaking, he said, you can kiss a woman on the hands and the sex glands don't mix. But you kiss her on the lips, it does.
That's right.
So you don't kiss until after you're married.
Amen.
Not just when you vow yourself to him, but after that ceremony, see? Yeah, and you're like, but I have to surrender to that. Yes, you do. If you want the blessings of God to come upon your life to the full extent, you've got to follow that and keep yourself as a gentleman.
Yeah.
And if your wife, maybe if your girlfriend, if she is of a mind to break the rules and you say, I'm not going to do it, she'll have respect for you down the road. Matter of fact, you need to think about whether or not you want to marry her if she's trying to get you to break the rules.
Yeah. Right.
You think about it. Brother Ram said in the message, he said, we're in marriage and divorce, he said, we're responsible, man, sinner or saint. Right? Even out there in the world, God's going to hold them to that. But you've got an opportunity to come clean. You say, Brother Tony, I've been married several times. I've had this, I've had that. Yeah? Under the message, and only under the message, you've got the opportunity to be clean. Because God gave this prophet under that ministry, told him, you tell your people, and Brother Ram said very clearly, this is only to my people, only to those who are following this message. If you're in that situation where you've been married several times and all, he said, just remain as you are, but don't ever do it again. Grace to cover it. So the rest of the world, they can live like animals, like a barnyard if they want to, and maybe in times past, maybe some of us, but under the message, God can make you pure again.
Amen.
But only through faith and belief and obedience to the very revelation that has brought these things to us. So that we can act like gentlemen and sisters can be like sisters. Now, I said all that to say this. Church, as a female, don't you let some trickster trick you into believing something different. Right? Don't do it. Stay with the scripture. Stay with the word. And you'll produce Christ only in your life.
Amen.
And you don't have to have anything to be ashamed of. Because if you take something else, it will bring shame. Right? And I would say there's probably, I'm not a woman, but I would say for a woman that knows the truth, one of the most shameful things probably is to lose her virtue and produce an offspring outside of what's right.
Yep.
That's probably very shameful. You know, Brother Ram said, and it's true, she could never be justified in this life. She could be justified of the sin and free from that. Mm-hmm. But in her body, she could never be justified. And if she got a child, you can never be justified because that child's with you. See, justification is just as if you didn't do it in the first place.
Sure.
Right? So she could never go back once that veil's been broken. She can't. Right? But if she stays true to it, see, then no condemnation. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, after the serpent, after his ways. You see what I'm saying? But walk after the Spirit, after the truth of God's word. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
It is. I really believe that God has given us the ability to rise up and live what we should have been in the first place.
Right.
What would have been in the garden. Only now. But it only happens in coming around and realizing the full revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is in his people. Right? In his people now. And only in the light of that do we understand these things and understand what's going on. That God shows a difference between a male and female. And that it does matter what we wear. And where we go and how we act. And it does matter the home, the structure of the home, and so forth. See? There's powers that we have as brothers, as husbands, and as mothers. There's a power that God gives us in our office that we can use, and we want to use it wisely, and we don't want to shirk the responsibility of it, but we want to use that in authority. And God will be on your side, regardless of what you have to go through.
That's right.
There are men who wound up divorced men because they stayed with the message. You think God didn't know that? God knows what we're going through.
That's right.
And God knows where you compromise too.
And he knows he can't bless a compromise. Amen. And so I'll just end right here because it's time for me to end. But may the Lord bless you. We do not want to be acting every day in any form or fashion where we are acting out the original sin or anything that even points to it, a byproduct of it, something that that features it, right? Something that looks at it and is okay with it. You know, I'm not going to go there. I'll do it some other service as I go further with this thought or whatever, because I'll just get onto another thing. But let's let the musicians come up and we'll just worship for a little bit. And then I want to have Brother Daniel and Sister Vicki and the children. We'll come up after service here in just a little bit and have prayer with them. I want the whole church to come up and we're going to lay hands on them and pray. You know, when one suffers, we all suffer, right? When one rejoices, we all rejoice. If our heart's right with God and with one another, we do. And so we want to pray. They ask for prayer after service. And so I want the church, just as we worship for a little bit, I want you to focus your attention upon this need, okay? And then we'll have prayer just in a moment. Amen. I'm going to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we just come to the end of this service now, we want to thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, that it liberates us, sets us free. There's nothing like knowing truth. And Lord, I don't say that we comprehend it all yet. Maybe we don't. I don't know where we are exactly, but I know that we're on your pathway, Lord. And you keep just revealing yourself to greater depths and greater ways. And we love you for it, Lord. We are happy to be your children. And it is a desire in our hearts, Lord, just to be able to express you clearly without any muddy waters or anything, Lord. We just want people to be able to look at us and look at our families and see you, to see your great handiwork and the person of your being, how wonderful you are. And I'm asking God that you'd help us to embrace these things, Lord, that in our homes and our lives we'd be able to adopt these truths and quit pushing them to the side and sweeping them under the rug, that if there's something that the message has said that we need to embrace and we need to cope with, God, that you grant to us the mercy and the persistence of the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us until, Lord, we have taken that which we've swept under the rug or taken that we've pushed to the side and bring it in front of us again and to deal with it. We ask, God, that you'd help us. We believe, Lord, that you will do that. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to worship you and thank you for all you've done now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship them.
Things I've had.
consider ourselves a body, each with members. And you know, the scriptures tell us that there are members in our body, some of them that are invisible, some of the most important members of your body you don't even see, but they have some of the most important functions. And you know, you and like your heart, your liver, the you know, and so there can be enemies attacking your heart, your liver, your this, your that. You might not even see it. You know, if you have something on the outside that attacks, you know, you got a rash or something, that's visible. But I'm saying this because there's all the times there's attacks of Satan on members of the body. And a lot of times you don't even know it. They know it, right? But you don't know it. But we're all one body. And so even though I can't see something attacking me inside, you know, the body feels it, right? And if we're all in tune with each other, then we want the good health of the entire body. And so as Brother Daniel and his wife and children come up, they've asked for prayer today, and they've been going through a lot of battles, a lot of trials, just a lot of things coming at them. And, you know, as I said earlier, God, you know, he allows you to gain victory. And so he wants Brother Daniel, Sister Vicky, and the family to have a lot of character over there, right? Obviously. But he does for all of us. And everybody has it their own ways. And so we believe that we are underneath the mighty hand of God as individuals and as a body. We believe that. And all we really want to do, we're not trying to be great anything. We just want to assemble ourselves together as his body underneath his leadership and say, God, here we are. And each member, we're just placing ourselves before you. And that's all. We're just asking God that you would do your blessings and your leadership and your guidance and help this body and this family remain strong and be victorious in anything that Satan sends our way. Amen. That's all. And that's all you can do, is to position yourself according to the Word of God and commit yourself to him. And even better, through desperation, to commit yourself to him. Amen. So if they come up and met the rest of the saints to come around, we'll just pray and ask God to move.
Amen. This family's dear to us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you now as your little group here, I suppose, Lord, that maybe most people on this earth, most people on the message probably don't even know that we're here, but God, we know that you know we're here, we're your children. We thank you, Lord, for every member that you put in this assembly, all that you do for us. And Lord, so we just want to just gather ourselves together and just look up to heaven. Look to thy word and say, Lord, we thank you for this little group and we thank you for this family. Lord, he's here among us. This church would not be the same without this family among us. And so, God, we're just asking, Lord, that you would help them look upon these trials. We know that you know what these trials are. We know they come across your desk. But during these trials, along with this family, we just want to be faithful to you and just commit this to you and say, God, we're your people. And we know that we just want to give glory to you. And I see that happening in this family. They just continue to press on. They continue to thank you and give image of you before those around them. And so we're asking, God, did you just help them? We just pray, God, that you defeat the enemy in their lives. Give them victory. Give them strength. Give them rejoicing. Lord, just help them in every way. And even the children, Lord, that you just help them. Give them the strength to endure as they go forward. We love this family, Lord, and we know that you love them. We want to express your love to them. And so we ask, God, that you bless them in every way possible, Lord. And we know they're faithful, believing children, and it's such a blessing to be able to walk this song with them. And we ask, God, that you bless them now. Bless us as a church family, Lord. We surrender to you and commit everything to you and ask your name.